Give me the flats at dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah. Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat!
I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him! You got it! I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
Good Monday evening, everybody. I am your host of the Monday Night Kickoff Show, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. And an interesting Monday evening it shall be. I think the topic of conversation has to be on nothing other than fish finding in difficult conditions, because it seems that those who live here in the Central Florida area are having a hard time locating numbers of fish. So we'll get into that. Good evening to the folks in the chat room, as always. We've got Mr. Hammerhead, we got King Rat, we got Joe, who's a new listener to my show, I believe. He's from the Virginia Beach area, where we will be boondoggling. I will get to that in a little while. Steve Chapman, of course, from Fishing Florida Radio. And believe it or not, I know it's hard to believe, even got Yak Angler Adam in the chat room from yakangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource. It's an honor and a privilege, sir, for you to have made my show. So let's see, man. I got a couple things I want to get to real quick. Tomorrow night, if you're in the Central Florida area, you might not want to miss the FSFA meeting, which is the Florida Sport Fishing Association meeting. That will be taking place over in Merritt Island at the Veterans Center behind the Merritt Island Mall, where all the helicopters are for those of you locals that are listening. Jerry McBride from DOA will be there putting on a seminar at 6:45. So if you guys know Jerry, he's a wealth of knowledge, incredible kayak fisherman in his own right, and always puts on a good seminar, so it'll be a good event. Come on out if you get a chance. Also, too, check out our friends at ElusiveTales.com. They've got all their clothing are now restocked, so go over there and feel free to buy up all of their goods, good people and friends of the show here. Let's see. Oh, of course, cannot forget, probably the most important thing to talk about, Saturday, August 25th, over at Mosquito Lagoon Bait and Tackle here in Titusville. We'll be having a tournament benefiting Emily and her father, Austin's putting on a tournament to benefit his daughter, Emily. You can find out more information about this charitable event at www.helpemilynow.org. Great people. Great family and, friends of the show. And it's unfortunate what's going on with them and their daughter having to try and keep her in her school over there. So anything you can do to help out, please feel free. Make yourself available on the 25th of August. It'll be a good time, had by all. And let's see, anything else I got to get to that's pressing? No. Oh, yes, the first round of iCast reviews have started to go up on yakangler.com, so you might want to take a second to jump over there to yakangler.com. If you're not already a member on Yak Angler, go ahead and join it. It's free. It's a great website. Of course, Adam and Mark are great friends of ours here at the show, and we always want to try and support those guys. But, you should see some really cool stuff coming down the pike. So if you guys have any questions about anything we spoke about on the last show, which was all about the iCast stuff, feel free to take a gander at Yak Angler, and you'll start to see what we're talking about. And on the phone line, as always, I have a good friend, Mr. Rob, a bad backcast of Vore. How are you, buddy?
Yo, I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm fantastic, bud. I can't complain about a thing. Got to do a little fishing this past weekend. And
awesome.
Had a good time, man. Had a real good time. So Cool. We'll get into that a little bit here. As I discussed, the topic of tonight will be about finding fish in tough conditions, which is definitely what we've been having over here. So what about you,
awesome,
man?
Well, I'm on the hunt for some tarpon. So I was just kind of wondering, you know, you think you might be able to help a brother get on some tarpon?
Yeah, absolutely. Come on over, man. I'll get you set up.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be fun. I'm not going to guarantee you giants. I'm going to guarantee you some quality fish.
Okay, man.
Yeah.
You already got me on those ditch tarpon, man. That was pretty cool.
I went
out yesterday, and man, it was really a rough time. I have never ever in my life seen more floating grass, and I've been fishing for a long time, and I've never seen more floating grass ever in my life. It was like big giant mats of it that were like the size of, you know, your truck. I mean, it was ridiculous. And so I know that every time, you know, every year in late summer, there's lots of floating grass, but I've just never seen it in this quantity before. It was amazing. You know, so that basically takes out half of your tackle box right there, you know. And I mean, I was throwing, you couldn't throw topwaters, you couldn't throw jigs, you couldn't throw, you know, crankbaits or lipless cranks or miradines or anything like that. It was just, yeah, that's about all you could do, man. I had a rough time, but it was getting a little innovative and trying out some new things. And even that didn't work. I mean, you know, not only fighting rough conditions, but the clothes are done. I couldn't find any fish, and I don't know if it was a salinity deal. You know, we got a lot of rain the night before, and everything like got like 4 inches of rain on Saturday. So I don't know if that played into it or what, but you know, it wasn't a new spot. It wasn't, you know, I don't know exactly what it was. You know, we know the area pretty well, so we just couldn't find fish to save our life. Found one little hungry dink trout, and that was it.
Well, you know how it goes, man. As long as you're on the water, you're having a good day. I mean, I know it sucks not to catch a bunch of fish, but I don't know. It's tough right now, man. It's really tough. It's tough on the West Coast. It's tough on the East Coast. And you want to hear something funny? The other day, I got an opportunity to fish with the guys from Florida Sport Fishing Magazine. And I haven't been on the water much. I've been busy with the ICAST stuff and getting back into the swing of things here at the house and with the kids and all. And so I wanted to find out, you know, what's going on, what's happening out there on the river. And so, man, I'll tell you, it's pretty bad when you watch the Florida Insider Fishing Report. There's a Space Coast section, and all Captain Jim Ross has to talk about for the river is ladyfish. I mean, the topic, the inshore species to target for him for this past week was ladyfish. And that's never a good sign. Not that I don't like catching poor man's tarpon. Not that I mind catching ladyfish, because I don't. I think they're fun. Man, I'm telling you, it's bad, dude. It was bad. I mean, everything he said was exactly right. We found some pretty big schools of glass minnows out in about 3 or 4 foot of water, and we were able to get on some trout, but nothing big. I mean, most of them were dink trout. A few of them were in like the teens, and we got a couple. I got one that was over 20 inches, but for the most part, they were all smaller fish. And I see that, Steve. I'm probably going to try and go there Thursday. Steve Chapman putting down one of the locations of some big breeder fish. Which, by the way, folks, is in the chat room. And if you're listening to the podcast, you should join me live on the show enter into the chat room. You can, if you're a guest in the chat room, which it looks like we only have one guest, you can log in by using your Facebook account and chat with everybody that the Lozier just showed up. What's going on, Mark? Anyhow, so, yeah, it was tough, man. The wind picked up out of the south, and as Greg the Hammerhead Crisp in the chat room can attest to, being in the no-motor zone with the south wind is the last place that you want to be, period. It's not a good situation. Typically, we paddle about 3 miles, 3.5 miles to the location to fish down in the no-motor zone from the launch. And with the south wind, when you turn around and head back to the ramp, it's in your face. It makes that 3 mile paddle more like a 7 mile paddle, which really kind of sucks. But anyhow, we had a good time. We left the no motor zone and went off looking for some ditch fish. And I figured, you know, they might have been a little mad because we didn't really get on the trout and reds as I had hoped. But if I can put a couple ditch tarpon on their rods, they might be pretty excited about it. So that's what we did. We went looking for them, and the one guy went 0 for 7 on tarpon. The other guy went 0 for 4. So what am I going to do? I mean, you can lead a horse to water, as they say. No.
Did you at least pull one?
I didn't fish for him.
Oh.
I didn't even pull the rod out. I left the rods in the truck. I wanted them to try and catch one, and I didn't want to be that guy. So we ended up leaving them, letting them do their thing, and the guys went on their way, and they're going to come back in the wintertime, as I told them that the no-motor zone is a lot better in the winter than it is in the summertime. But anyhow, that was Friday. Saturday, I had an opportunity to go and do a trip with Jose, or Pepe, as most of you guys know him. And we got to launch from over on the east side of the no-motor zone off the Space Center, or off the Air Force Station, which was pretty awesome. I've never launched from that corner over there before. The first thing I noticed is the abundance of manatees that like to hang out right there at the launch. That's always fun. We played Russian roulette with paddling through the manatees, and then once we were out on the water, dude, I'm telling you, if there was 10, there had to have been 30 of the damn things there. It was crazy. But let's see. Steve Chapman, let me break from that real quick. Steve Chapman's in the chat room, and he's rubbing it in that he went over to Bimini for the weekend and saw one of the biggest schools of bonefish that he's ever seen in his entire life, and they're all giants and whatever. But I don't think you caught any of those, did you? No. Doesn't matter. You saw them, and you were in Bimini, and we were here, so sucks for us. But we launched. We got past the manatee kill zone and moved out into the flat and kind of worked our way around the island. First island we came to, man, there was a freaking tailing fish right on it. Big, big, beautiful tail just waving in the morning sunlight. And I made 2 or 3 casts at him, and just gone. Just I don't know, man. He just didn't want to eat. So we move on, and we're paddling from island to island. It's a pretty cool bottom feature as well to this area of the no-motor zone. It goes from really, really shallow up close to the islands and drops off pretty steep, but then it'll shoot back up again in between the islands to another flat. So in between each island was like its own little flat. It was really cool. We caught some fish, a couple trout. Both of us got trout behind the islands, and they were both over 20 inches, which was nice. We turned around and came back to the east shoreline, hoping for some redfish. I found a redfish. I caught one, just blind casting around some schools of mullet. But, man, the water was filthy. There was no sight fishing to be had. There was a lot of bait in the water. Again, there was a lot of glass minnows. There was a lot of bigger mullet. I'll tell you one thing. I am a believer, a firm believer in the Slayer SSTs, man. The vibration that those big tails send off is pretty impressive. And we were able to get a few fish, I think, that we probably wouldn't have found otherwise to eat those baits. So it was pretty good. The color of the day, for any of those of you that are interested, was what I would call like a chicken on a chain kind of a color, like Bass Assassin with a chartreuse tail. That color seemed to work pretty well. I will tell you this also, that there was a jerk bait hook that I got from a company at iCast that I will not knock the name of the business. I'll let them just kind of, if they should listen to this podcast, they know who they are because it's the only one that gave me any hooks. I'll never throw the hooks ever again. I think I lost 4 or 5 fish in a row on the hooks. I just couldn't get them to stick. And as soon as I switched over to a jig head, it was all you wanted. But so anyhow, we turned around, we came back, and headed back towards the ramp. And for those of you that don't know, Pepe's got triplets. So his wife called us and was like, or called him and was like, hey, listen, I can't handle the kids anymore. Come home. And there he is. He just showed up. And so we headed back to the ramp. But when we head back to the ramp, all of a sudden the water started erupting all around us like bonita. I mean, it looked like a giant school of bonita that you would see like out on the ocean or something. There were fish just blowing up everywhere. And man, it was just crazy. Let's see, we found trout and ladyfish both mixed in. But the crazy part, Rob, and I'll ask you this question. Have you ever found like 16, 17 fish with multiple dink trout?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. You said, have you ever seen 16-inch fish do what?
Have you ever seen like the 16 to 17-inch trout mixed in with little dink trout, like at the same place?
Yeah. Under dock lights all the time. You see them all shapes and sizes in there, man.
Yeah. See, we haven't been able to find them over here that way in a long time. As far as, usually if you're catching dinks, you're catching dinks. That's all you're going to catch. We moved over to the shoreline a little bit, and literally every single cast, if you hooked a trout and lost the trout, by the time the jig fell out of his mouth and was sinking, another trout would eat it. And if that trout spit it, another trout would eat it. If that trout spit it, the ladyfish would eat it. I mean, it was the craziest thing. And
Yeah. You know what I think happens, too, and I've had this happen before, is you'll be, you know, you get on dink trout, and, you know, your first reaction is, oh, man, you know, here we go again, dink trout. Well, I've had them where I'm pulling a dink, and a bigger one will come and bully him and steal his lunch money, and you got him on.
Right.
So, it's happened before. But that's why I always, in a couple of spots where I know that there's big trout usually, a couple of flats that are, you know, my big trout numbers are pretty good on. If I start catching dinks, I hang in there because I know that there's going to be a big mama somewhere in there.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, you know what, it's funny, finding those fish the way we did, both me and Pepe both, we were throwing topwater plugs. It's just funny to watch, like every 2 or 3, you know, bounce on a walk the dog style deal, you'd have 2 or 3 fish gonna blow up on it. And at one point, he threw his right past mine, right past me where I was sitting, and you could see the shadows of the trout rush up underneath it. It was pretty cool. And I got that wonderful video I shot. Excuse me real quick of his topwater getting blasted by a dink, but it was awesome, man. We had a great time. But we both talked to each other about how hard it was, man, to try and find those fish. It was just really, really tough to really locate any kind of a school or anything like that. I mean, it was just really, really tough, man. So I don't know. We didn't run into a bunch of fish. It was just, it was kind of weird. I mean, we got to a couple spots and it looked really, really fishy. And man, it just didn't work out the way we wanted it to. But man, we still had fun, you know. I caught that one fish. That one red was pretty cool. He had 5 spots on him. I like when I catch him with multiple spots. That's pretty awesome. But let me hit this sound bite right quick for those of you that are going to be visiting us in Virginia Beach.
Boondoggle. Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
And, of course, that is the million-dollar voice of none other than Mr. Steve Chapman there in the chat room. Come out and see us, Boondoggle, October the 5th through the 8th in Virginia Beach, as Steve said. Should be a good time. We're going to have a lot of fun, man. I'm hoping that the Loziers and everybody else can put us all on fish, because otherwise we'll have to make fun of them for a while. Just kidding. Ro, let me jump on this, too, as a matter of fact. For all of your custom apparel needs, take a gander over at Gator Dave there in the chat room. Does GatorDavesApparel.com is his website. He's actually working on getting us some shirts for Space Coast Kayak Anglers. So for any of you guys that are members of Space Coast Kayak Anglers, we're going to have some pretty sick shirts done. Some performance style shirts done. If you're not a member of Space Coast Kayak Anglers and you want to be, feel free to meet up with us on Facebook. You can find Space Coast Kayak Anglers on Facebook and, of course, at yakangler.com. But anyhow, let me give him a plug too. Black Dog Custom Rod Works, he's there in the chat room. Mr. Pep, he had one of his rods with him that they built, and it looked like a redfish. The handle was wrapped in like almost like what looked like a skin wrap, which was pretty awesome. And I figure I'm called Redfish Chuck. I should have a rod that looks like a redfish, right? So we're going to be working on that, I think, here shortly. But anyhow, back to fishing. Yeah, the water was super, super dirty and really kind of crummy. Looked like the algae bloom is starting. I hate to say it, but it looks like it is. So, you know, I don't know, Rob. I mean, was the water dirty over by you? Do you guys get that algae bloom? I know you guys sometimes have to suffer with a red tide, but... Rob?
Yeah, sorry, I was muted there. I haven't seen any algae blooms or heard anything or... anything like that right now. What I have seen, it's a lot of, water was pretty murky yesterday. It wasn't filthy or anything. And as we got away from the deeper water and closer to the islands, it kind of cleared up a little bit, and it was the clarity was actually pretty good. However, it was just the floating grass clumps, man. I mean, it was just awful. And like I said, it kind of eliminates half your tackle box. So you got to kind of go back to, you know, hey, you got to use this and you got to try that and you got to try something different. So I actually, got my little brain together and started working on putting something in. I'm like, man, I want to work a top water, but I can't with all this floating grass. And you know as well as I do, at least over here, if you get floating clumps of grass like that on the flats or somewhere in shore like that, there's bound to be little crabs in there. There's little shrimp, little, bait fish kind of get around that as cover. So I was trying to think of a way to fish that stuff without getting hung up on getting fouled. And it wasn't just grass clumps. I mean, there was, little stray strands of grass everywhere. I mean, I don't think you could cast anything yesterday and not get, be pulling a piece of salad bar with you across the, through the water. So what I did is I took one of the Z-Man shrimps, thing looks fairly, it was, the color was spot on, man, for like a natural shrimp. Had a little bit of red flakes in it and everything. It was very nice and nice color. And I put a weedless offset, like, bass worm hook, unweighted, and started throwing that. And I couldn't really, you couldn't throw it a mile or anything, but you could cast a pretty fair distance with it. And it floated, it was great. So I was just kind of working it as a topwater around those grass clumps. And I think that's a pretty dangerous setup right there. I think if there was some fish around, they probably would have ate that. Because it's a pretty lifelike looking shrimp, and you put a little bit of action on it, and you can, you know, make it act like a shrimp. Chances are, I can't tell you how many times I've seen little shrimps like that, you know, swimming on the surface, kind of drifts along with the tide. They're, you know, they don't move real fast or anything like that, but you know, if you make it, give it a little, couple little jerks, and you can kind of pop it on the surface, make a little bit of a disturbance, and kind of reel real slow with it, it acts like a shrimp.
Cool. Sounds like a pretty damn good plan there, brother. I oftentimes in the wintertime we find ourselves with thick grass on the surface because it's dying off and stuff. Well, I should say we used to find ourselves with a lot of dead grass on the surface. Now we can't even find grass, and that's the other problem I think that we're having in our lagoon systems, and I really wish somebody would figure out what the hell's going on, because there was dirt, like sandy, dirty mud just everywhere we went. I don't think that I ever really came across what I would call a true grass flat the entire day. And it was pretty sad to see. For those of you guys that are listening in and that are in the chat room that aren't from here, typically what we have down here in Central Florida especially is just vast amounts of grass flats. Everywhere you go, there's a grass flat. And it's usually really nice, kind of thick green grass. And it's easy to spot redfish in, and it provides good cover for bait and for fish. And so, you know, it's pretty easy to predict where the fish are going to be. So, yeah, we don't have that anymore. We've got dirt flats now, and it's sweet. You can go out there and paddle for miles and not see a living creature, and then all of a sudden you'll come upon, like, two or three small patches of grass, and everything and their brother is living around that small little safety net of grass. But, you know, as you said, sometimes you just have to figure out, okay, well, what's the next plan? Where should we go to look? You know, I don't know, man. It's bad. It's really bad. Fish are still here. It's just in the kayaks. You know, you gotta really kind of pick your put in location, because we don't have obviously the range of a boat. It's easy to run from the north end of the lagoon to the south end of the lagoon in a day in a flats boat, but you know, if you put in and paddle to an area that's usually covered up in grass, and you get there and there's no grass at all, it makes it kind of tough. But yeah, I don't know. So let's see. Yeah, the rigs we were using, the rigs I was using, I ended up switching to the jig head, throwing a 16th ounce jig head, chartreuse color to kind of get some kind of color in that water. I mean, I think anything else would have just kind of blended in with the dirty water, so I figured chartreuse, why not? With that, I'll call it chicken on a chain. I don't know what Slayer calls it, but that chicken on a chain kind of color. And that was a ticket, man. All the fish I caught were on that, except for when we got into the little trout. You could have, actually, I did. I threw a bear jig head and missed a couple of hits on a bear jig head. They were so thick. But yeah, I mean, what do you do? I mean, it is what it is. We just have to deal with it and try and find new places to run around and do our thing. Debbie said he was using, what were you using? 16th ounce weedless hook? Yeah, that's what he was using, with a chicken off the chain. There you go, chicken off the chain, as opposed to chicken on a chain. So there you go. What else? Oh, product review right here for you real quick. Let's hit up. Let's see if we got some kind of a news thing we can hit real fast. I don't really know that it's... There we go. Yeah. So anyway, at ICAST, I was fortunate enough to meet the folks from Typhoon Sunglasses. And if you're not familiar with Typhoon Sunglasses, you might would want to do so. I have been a lifelong wearer of Costas, or as long as Costas have been around. And fortunately enough for me, up until a point, I was able to get Costas for nothing. Now I'm in a situation where I'm no longer working in a tackle shop, so that's not really an option for me. So now that I would have to replace the $250 pair of Costas with a $250 pair of Costas out of my pocket, I would choose not to do so for me just because I'm really, really rough on my glasses. These Typhoons are pretty sweet. They retail for $49 on up to $69, I think. Come in a bunch of different frame sizes. They have some really good-looking lenses in them. They're polycarbonate lenses. So they're plastics. So they're super lightweight, just like the Costa polycarbonate lenses, and really comfortable. The ones I have are the Alohas, and I love them. I've been wearing them every day since I cast, and they're my new favorite lens and new favorite shades, man. And for the price point, pretty hard to beat. I can drop $60 on a pair of shades and not feel too bad about it if I break them. They have a warranty as well, but for $60, you know, it's a lot better. What's that?
What color lenses you use?
The ones that I have in these are like a copper lens. They have a name for it. I'm not really sure what it is without pulling up the website. But it's like a copper lens. The frames are kind of brownish. They look kind of like a wood grain. They're pretty sweet. I like them a lot.
Yeah,
but
I've seen those, man. They're nice.
Yeah, they're awesome. Super comfortable, like I said. But for down here, especially when you're trying to spot fish, even in dirty water, if you have a good polarized lens on, you can pick this fish out really easily. And this is definitely one of those that made it pretty easy. I'm hoping to have one of the guys, TJ, from Typhoon on the show here in the next couple of weeks. But I know I have the guys from RCI Optics. They're going to be on next week. So if any of you guys are in the market for sunglasses, we'll have a couple of different style, different price range companies on the show in the next couple of weeks, so look for that. But, yeah, let's see, dirty water conditions. And, you know, one of the things I always try and look for, Rob, is when I'm fishing, is bait. Like, to me, obviously, everything revolves around food in the intercoastal waterway, off the beaches, whatever. That's not an issue right now, is finding that. But what I think is really the problem is the ambush spots. So hard to come by. There is no grass. That you really have to kind of look at the terrain of the bottom and look at what's going on along the edges of the waterway, i.e. the down trees, the mangrove trees, the docks, the seawalls, the whatever. With the wind we've been having almost constantly every day, finding the areas that will produce that ambush location for your fish, I think is critical. Especially right now, trying to find good numbers of fish. It just works out. I mean, it was funny because I even called it. And I think that's a little test to it. We're sitting there floating behind one of the islands. I look over and there's a dead mangrove tree like half in the water. I look over there and I'm like, man, there's got the trout laying next to that tree. I threw a cast over by it, and sure enough, I got a trout right there. So it's definitely one of those things. You gotta just really read the water and think like a fish when the potholes aren't around and the normal natural structure's not around for them to be able to hide around. You gotta look to other means, and believe it or not, even right up on the shoreline, sometimes those fish will hide in just a few inches of water, and it is pretty tough. I sparked a debate in the chat room. Everyone's commenting on how many pairs of they have. I never said I didn't like my Costas, so everybody's aware of that. And I love my Costa glasses. For an everyday wearer of sunglasses, and I have to wear sunglasses, otherwise, for the price, it was pretty awesome for those Typhoons. But I've probably had 4 or 5 pairs myself. I gave my dad a pair, my father-in-law's got a pair,
I don't know, everybody I know who needed a pair of glasses got a pair of those. But anyhow, let's see. What else is new? Rob, anything?
Yeah. You know, you're talking about summer fish and, you know, it's always hard to, sometimes it's hard to find fish and things of that nature. And you're 100% right. It's the same thing over here. However, I find that you got to target the fish that are going to be active in the summer, you know. And it's not that, you know, the fish, you know, all the trout and everything and the redfish, you know, they stop eating or whatever. They got to eat. But I think that they're, at least on this coast anyway, they're a little bit more spread out and maybe in deeper water or cooler water, and I find in the summertime it's better. You got to try to target snook and go to snook areas, like that place that you were driving by over the weekend. That place, that's a snook spot, okay? And that's a spot that we fish a lot in the summertime because that's where a lot of fish are going to be. So that's like half the battle right there. It's kind of hard. In my opinion, it's hard to kind of go out and target redfish when they're not going to be around. So you just have a more, you know, to me it makes more sense to go after something like snook or something that's going to be around, or tarpon that's going to be around in the summertime. That's just my opinion. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, it's I don't know. I've learned over the last couple of months, actually last year or so, to do things I normally wouldn't do to locate fish in the summertime. I just got distracted. I saw that Black Dog Custom Rod Works in the chat room there said that he saw 5 pompano while wading the islands this past weekend. Well, I guess I know what I'm doing next week. But, yeah, so like popping corks, for instance. Deadly Combo style rigs from DOA, a popping cork in a plastic or a popping cork in a live mullet. A couple other things, you know, it's I don't know, it works, man, in that dirty water. It helps those fish be able to find and locate something. You know, what's funny is I used to never throw chartreuse. Anything chartreuse. I was like anti-chartreuse. I just like to throw things that look natural, like something you'd see in the water, like swimming by you, whatever. I've never seen a mullet go by me with a chartreuse tail or anything like that. But or a shrimp swim by a chartreuse colored. If it is, then I don't want to be playing around in that water. But after watching so many episodes of fishing shows from, let's say, down in Louisiana, when those guys have to fish nothing but dirty water almost all the time, chartreuse is like the holy grail of colors down there. I mean, everybody throws chartreuse down there, and something with chartreuse in it. Their flies have chartreuse in it. Their topwater plugs are chartreuse colored or have chartreuse in them. You know, I mean, it's chartreuse is king down there. And you know, I like to try and use techniques that I see on TV in my local area and see if they really work. That's one of them that does. I mean, you could probably throw a chartreuse-colored curly tail or shad tail in the intercoastal here in Central Florida any day of the week, every day of the year, and catch something on it. It does. It just catches fish. But when that water gets real dirty, man, it gets really, really good, that color. I don't know. I watched Pepe throw a couple different things over the last couple times me and him fished together. He's got a giant bag of SSTs sent to him, and he had, like, every color known to mankind. And he was still just throwing that, chicken off the chain. So there you go.
Hey, I'll tell you this, too. You know, here's another thing that, you know, when you're used to throwing Bass Assassin shad tails or DOA shad tails or you know, whoever, whatever you like, you know, they each one has a signature vibration that it throws off. And it's my opinion that the fish, when they're feeding, they're looking for, you know, that is going to be their first thing that they're going to, that's going to key them in. Okay. It's almost like hearing, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, vibration that, you know, you got to use something with some sort of vibration. All the, you know, in my opinion, you got to use that. You know, that's your first key. So a shad tail or a curly tail or something like that. And each one has its own signature vibration, right? Well, I think that those SSTs, not only are they awesome, but the reason that they're working so good for you is because it's a newer thing. It's got a new frequency to it or a new vibration that it's throwing off. And, you know, because when you go out and you're using your standard shad tail, you know, nine out of ten of them are the same, you know, or close to the same. They're right around the same size. The tails are right around the same size, so they're probably throwing off the same sort of vibration. But that thing's got a pretty huge tail on it, man. So it's probably throwing off a bigger, huger vibration. So, you know, that's one reason why that's working, you know, especially in pressured water. I mean, a lot of those fish over there get a lot of pressure, so they're going to definitely key in on something that feels a little bit different, I think.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, as Gator Dave just said, in dirty water, the vibration will get you the reaction strike. Also, too, I talk about it all the time. I'll throw shad tails probably more than I throw anything else ever. Like, that's my favorite lure style to throw. And for me, it just makes sense. Fish are designed to locate things by not only sight, smell, but also by vibration, because that's why they have a lateral line. A lateral line is designed to pick up that vibration and send that message to the brain saying, hey, there's something over here. You might want to go check it out. I've had fish come across a flat, you know, 20, 30 yards across a flat just to clobber a shad tail in clean water. Now, whether or not that fish saw that bait, I seriously doubt it, in a foot and a half of water with all the grass he had to swim through, but he definitely felt it and knew it was over there. And I've watched them literally do that, where they just make a beeline for that area, and they're like, you'll see them, especially when they're all lit up, the redfish here, their pink pectoral fins will pop out, and they're like, they're on the hunt, you know, they're really looking for it, and they hone in on it, and it's over. But, you know, a couple of the fish that we caught this weekend clobbered the baits. I mean, hit them like they need, like it was their job, man. They hit them to kill them, and, I mean, the redfish I caught, he damn near swallowed the whole jig, and, you know, I forgot my pliers at home. I had to go over to Pepe and borrow his pliers real quick, but, and one of the trout that he caught had the thing down deep, too, so... that vibration's definitely the key, man. I'm not opposed to throwing something that's more like a traditional spinner bait or like a Cajun style, what do they call them, man? Redfish Magic style baits, where they have a little, you know, spinner bait on it like you would for bass. Especially this time of year with there being no grass. I mean, you got nothing to hang up on. You're just reeling across sandy bottom anyway. That big blade would even kick off enough visual as the flash is concerned and vibration to maybe trigger a couple extra bites. That'd be something to look into. But, you know, we had a pretty good group of bait fish we were trying to work, and it just didn't seem to be anything in them. That's the only other thing that concerns me, is that having fished so many areas that I know hold big numbers of fish all year round, the motor zone to me is not that place. I know there's numbers of fish there, but to be able to every day go and every day pick up big numbers of fish, it's never been that for me personally. Other areas of the river I've done much better as far as consistently catching big numbers, but you know, for whatever reason, maybe it's just because it's so new to me to fish up there, I feel like I have to do it. Steve Chapman's leaving the chat room there. Guys, do me a favor, check out Steve's show. He's on Saturday mornings with Captain Mike Ortigo at Tackle Webs and Boudreaux, the three amigos, on Fishing Florida Radio at 7:40 The Game.
com from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock Saturday mornings. So catch your show. Listen in. You never know, you might win yourself a pair of Costas or some kind of awesome prize pack. I know I've won a bunch of prize packs from Steve in the past, and pretty killer stuff too, man. I think I've won. I know I won an Optima battery from you before, which is pretty awesome. So cool. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you being here, bro. But, oh, and if you need any web design, web hosting, or anything like that also, too, check out Steve. Man, he does a great job, man. The guy's top-notch. But, yeah, spinnerbaits. I don't know. I've used them before. Actually, I'll tell you a bait that I really like to throw when it gets tough. And I don't know if any of you guys in the chat room or anybody listening at the podcast or listening live has ever thrown it, but the chatterbaits. The chatterbait style baits, and those things are sick. Does the Optima battery work on the tuna? Yeah, man. I'm sure I can hook it up. Whatever. Don't knock my tuna, man. That thing is awesome. So, get a hold of Steve if you want to throw in your email address. It's steve@fishingfloridaradio.com. There you go. Take it easy. But, yeah, the chatterbaits, dude. The chatterbaits are sick. Have you ever used chatterbaits, Rob?
No, not saltwater fishing.
Yeah, they make a saltwater version of the chatterbait. It's just like a little minnow, inline minnow thing. And I'll tell you a funny story about that. I was down in the south end of Mosquito Lagoon, down south of Whale Tail, over on what I call the Middle Banks. And there was a giant school of fish, and they were all big fish. They were like 30 to probably 40 inches. And they just kept swimming around me in circles all freaking morning long. I'm just sitting there watching them. And I threw everything I had in my tackle box at them, and I couldn't get them to eat a thing. I mean, shad tails, jerk baits, dead stuck some gulp shrimp, gulp crabs, exude crabs soaked in Lunker sauce, topwater plugs, miradines, shad wraps. I mean, literally everything. And finally, after all of that, I got him to eat a freaking chatterbait, which was like the last thing. I'm looking in the box, I'm looking at that bait, and I'm like, there's just no way they're going to eat this stupid-looking thing. And I'm telling you, because, I mean, the shad body or whatever it was, the little minnow body was red with, like, green reflective tape in it. So it didn't even look like anything you'd ever want to really throw. The blade was gold, which was cool. I mean, that would work. But so I throw this thing out. And line comes tight. I'm reeling it. I'm feeling the vibration on the tip of the rod. I'm like, golly, this thing is crazy. And I look out, and I could see it flashing because it's coming right at me, and the sun's over my shoulder. And all of a sudden, I look over, and two big redfish come cruising out of that school and just rushing this thing. And they almost fought over it to get to it first. And one of them ate it, and he ate the crap out of this thing. I mean, he swallowed it down. It was gone. I mean, it was – the hook was – back in his gullet, and there was no getting it out. And but anyway, I reeled him in, 38-inch fish on a chatterbait when I couldn't buy a bite. And so yeah, it works, man. But unfortunately for me, that was the only one I had, and I did the best I could. I clipped the hook pretty far back in there, so I mean it was.
Well, you gotta try different stuff, man. You can't. You know, when it gets hard, you got to start pulling out everything, man. And that's when you find stuff like at the bottom of your tackle box, like you're saying, and you're like, well, you know, why am I going to use, a white curly tail when the water's filthy dirty like this, you know? And you do, and bang, all of a sudden, they can't stop eating it. You know, I've had that happen so many times. But the other thing I find, Chuck, too, is downsize. Downsize. If you're finding like you're getting on fish and they won't eat, try downsizing, man. I'll tell you, one day at 4th Street, I was fishing and couldn't buy a bite, man. And I know that there's fish around. There was all kinds of bait fish action going along the mangrove shorelines there. Nice deep mangrove edge. There's little shrimp popping out of off the surface, you know, going bloop, bloop. And I'm telling you, I got the smallest curly tail I could find, which was like one of those Cody River things. And, I mean, this thing is the ugliest jig I've ever seen. I mean, it's like motor oil color, and it's got a gold flake tail, okay? What in your right mind is going to eat this thing? So I just slapped it on and threw it over there and caught three fish and three casts, okay? I don't know why. You got me. But one of the snook was about 30 inches on a little teeny tiny Cody River curly tail. Go figure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, elephants eat peanuts, dude. You know, elephants eat peanuts, so there's no telling. I mean, yeah, I see Pappy says just chunk bait. Yeah.
Yeah, listen, yeah.
I would rather super glue my butt to the bottom of a kayak than chunk bait. To me, it is the most boring fishing that there is. There's nothing that's more boring to me than chunk and bait. Now, there are situations where you have to use bait, and I understand that, and that's fine, and I'm guilty of it as well. Like, if you want to catch a giant redfish or a giant black drum or, you know, some bigger species, you normally will have to throw bait, and that's fine. That's cool. Whatever. I get it. But if you're going out on a flat in the first thing in the morning, you see some tailing fish, and you decide, rather than throwing this jerk bait or this shad tail or this topwater or this fly, I'm going to throw a hunk of mullet and sit here for 30 minutes and hope that they can smell it and come over and eat it. I don't get anything out of that. Like, to me, it's like catfishing. It's not that much fun. It's bad enough that redfish are glorified catfish with spots on their tail. Like, they're bottom feeders. I mean, they'll eat just about anything that you leave on the bottom for any length of time. They're scavengers. But, you know, to make it even more easy, to me, it's just like, I don't know, man. I don't get it. But,
well,
you know,
the only time I'll chuck bait is if I'm tarpon fishing, and that's it.
Well, and like I said, there's certain species that you have to throw bait for, and I get it. Like, come down here, or come over here on this coast, and try and catch a 18, 19, 20-inch mangrove snapper on a lure. The only way you're ever going to do it is at night. And you might could do it with a lip plug, if you could work the lip plug slow enough to where they can come out of other structure and eat it. But for the most part, you got to throw bait, you got to throw shrimp, you got to throw pilchards and that kind of thing. And it's fine. And again, like I see guys all the time that go out and they sit on the whale tail or the edge of the whale tail, and they're looking for big giant redfish. And you got to use ladyfish heads, ladyfish bodies, big chunks of mullet, quartered crabs, clams, that kind of thing. You have to. Otherwise, they're just going to swim past your bait. They're not going to pay any attention to you. That's fine. Yeah, that's cool. But unless, you know, I'll put it to you like this. If all the fish in the Indian River Lagoon finally decide that we're no longer going to eat plastic baits and topwater baits and plugs, then yes, of course, I'll have to throw dead bait or just live bait or whatever. But I'd much prefer to catch things that are artificial. But,
hey, I'll tell you this, Chuck. I keep a couple of bags of gulp, you know, in my tackle box, and if things are tough, I'll throw some gulp. You know, it's kind of like throwing a chunk of mullet or something, but at least you can still work the bait a little bit, you know. It's not totally like soaking, you know, mullet heads or something.
Yeah. Peppy, I heard, loves to throw cut bait. I mean, he's all about it. No, I'm kidding. He's just like me. We were talking about that. We're just like, you know, I'd rather go play bridge bingo. They'd sit on the flat and hurl out a chunk of ladyfish and sit there for an hour waiting for something to happen. Because I don't like to read. I don't have, like, things to do. Like, what do you do while you're just sitting there waiting for something to happen? I mean, that's why I don't like to surf fish that much. If I surf fish, I'm surf fishing with plugs or a fly rod. I'm not surf fishing with a piece of shrimp and a pyramid sinker. Like, I can't do it, man. But you know what? That's different strokes for different folks. Gulp is huge in Florida as well, Joe. And I see Joe there in the chat room. It says it's huge up in Virginia Beach. It's huge down here, too. And you can fish gulp like dead bait. You can throw a gulp shrimp out in the middle of a flat and leave it in the rod holder and commence to throw in a topwater plug or something like that. And a redfish or a big trout will find it if the pinfish and pufferfish don't eat it first. But, you know, it's check your Google Calendar, Adam. I don't know, man. It's just not my thing. But, you know, it's a very valuable tool when the water is dirty. It is, you know, because, again, now you're honing in on the species on one of his main sensory deals. You know, they smell the bait from a mile away, especially stinky ladyfish. You know, but I don't know. In a no-motor zone, it works. It works well in the wintertime because there's giant schools of big, big redfish, and there's giant schools of big black drum. But the only problem is in the wintertime, if you can do that in the morning, but towards the afternoon, with the amount of alligators that cruise around in the no-motor zone and the size of the damn gators that cruise around in the no-motor zone, I really don't want to be cutting up fish all over my kayak and making it smell like a dead mullet. You know, it's just, I don't know, call me a wuss. I guess that's just what it is, but whatever. But we got Kayak Kevin in the chat room. Check that out. What's going on, brother? I think I saw your Kayak Kevin's intro music here while I was playing around before the show, and it almost blew my eardrums out.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, death metal. So for those of you that don't know Kayak Kevin, you must be living underneath a rock. Kayak Kevin has come out with some pretty incredible DVDs. He's up there in our next boondoggling location of Virginia Beach. I'm really excited about having the opportunity to fish with Kevin and Rob Choi and the Loziers and everybody else up there. And check out everything that Kayak Kevin's got going on. Your website's kayakkevin.com, isn't it? I think so. Pretty sure. Yeah, he's got some killer videos of them fishing out on their shoals for big giant redfish and hurling full blue claw crabs at these things. It's a crazy thing. But kayakkevin.com. There you go. And you know what? And it's funny because I'm totally cool with that. Like I would love to do that. Now I wouldn't love to do that in the situations that they do it because those guys have lost their minds. But I don't think that I would feel too safe doing it the first go round. You know, it's not like it's not one of the things on my list to do when I get to Virginia Beach is, hey, let's go paddle off into the shoal. You know, that takes some special talent right there. But down here, you know, I've fished live blue crabs around the bridge pilings for big black drum before. It works real well. But yeah, you know, and that's one of the reasons I'm really excited about this new kayak I got, the big tuna from Jackson. Is the fact that that it's got the integrated live well in between your legs there if you move the seat forward, if you're not paddling as a tandem, which it is a tandem boat, but it paddles well as a single, is the ability to be able to carry live bait to fish for species that normally I probably wouldn't target out of the kayak just because I wouldn't carry the live bait with me, like mangrove snappers, small groupers, big redfish, big black drum, that kind of thing, so... But anyhow, so let's see. Let's review real quick. The water clarity in the Space Coast area sucks. It's muddy. It's dirty. The
sorts is, it seems like, is starting. There are, hang on a second. Kevin said Big Reds might be within our paddling distance during the boondoggle. Well, I'm down, brother. I really want to get on some flounder, too, though, man. I know it sounds funny, but, yeah, Rob's like, But, yeah, we'll see. But, anyhow, water's dirty. Fish are hard to find. They're scattered. There's some areas in the Mosquito Lagoon and in the North Indian River that are still holding decent numbers of tailing fish. I know a couple of guys that got on some fish in the lagoon the last couple of weeks and found decent numbers of fish tailing, but the only problem is they're in flats boats, we're in kayaks, and they're running miles away from the ramp where, you know, we're not going to really paddle that far. So just get out there, man, and just fish. I mean, you go get back to basics and find bait, find mullet schools, fish around that, fish around edges and drop-offs, and fish around any kind of down limbs from the old mangrove trees or around mangrove islands, like the Clinker Islands up in the lagoon, up in the refuge. But very, very important that everybody is extremely careful on the Space Coast, because right now, for whatever reason, the alligators are more aggressive now than I have ever seen them. And I'm telling you, it's just not good. I know Peppy the other day reassured me that, oh, they won't mess with you. If they do, hit them in the head with your paddle. But listen, I would prefer not to have to worry about trying to hit them in the head with the paddle, just in case I whiff. So... Just be careful. It's crazy, man. They've been in a... Is it breeding season? I don't think it's breeding season. Didn't they already do that? I think they already did that.
You want to borrow my battle axe paddle there, Chuck? You might feel safer.
Yeah. No, you know what, man? It's just... I talked to a guy who fished up in Peacock's Pocket, which is a pretty popular place for kayakers to go. And he even told me, he's like, dude, I counted 15 gators, 15 different gators right outside the ramp. Like, yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good with that. Like, manatees are one thing. The worst a manatee is going to do is flip you out of your kayak because you scare him. You know, you paddle on top of a pissed off 10-foot gator and he decides to knock you out of your kayak. Now you're in the water with him. And, yeah, I'm not exactly one of the swamp people or swamp brothers. Like, you know, I'm not going to be able to jump on the back of a gator and wrestle it and get his eyeball before he takes me out. So, concealed carry. Yeah, I can't do that on the refuge, though, man.
Nope.
I don't want to be that guy who gets popped. But, yeah, it should be fun. What's Kevin got here? Kevin.com weekly catch some. Oh, he's got a fishing report from the first week of October from last year. So that would be interesting to read. Thinking the AR may be a good addition to your tackle. Yeah, I like pistols and guns and assault rifles and stuff. Man, I got pistols, but that's not the point. The point's just to stay clear. You know, if you know where you're going to go launch as a haven for alligators, you might decide to go somewhere else. I'm just saying. But you know what? It's, I don't know. You got to get out there and have fun. You got to get out there and catch some fish. But that's how you're going to do it. That's how you're going to do it. You're going to find fish at these different spots. You're going to find them around drop-offs, and you're going to find them around mangrove trees and that kind of thing. And all of your stuff that you're going to use, all of your baits and stuff, make sure they have some sort of a sound chamber. Or they throw off a vibration, it's going to make it a lot easier for you to find some fish. But with that said, I'm past my hour now. I'm going to call it early tonight. I was going to go on, but we're just going to call here. And next week, I believe I've got the guys from RCI Optics coming on. Look for Typhoon to be joining me here shortly. Look forward to that. I got word today that I'm getting one of those one of the rods from 13 Fishing, which is pretty cool, to do a review on.
So I'll be talking about that here in the weeks to come. Other than that, real quick plugs. Check out Black Dog Custom Rod Works for anything that you need as far as rods are concerned. I've seen the man's work. It's incredible. Looks great. I can't wait to get my hands on one of those redfish wrap rods. They're going to be awesome. But let's see what else we got going on. Gator Dave's Apparel. Was it GatorDavesApparel.com? I believe. I'm trying to find it here. And then, of course, I got to plug my sponsors while I'm looking for that. Let's see. Jackson Kayaks, of course, Yeti Coolers, Tackle Webs, YakAngler.com. Again, check out YakAngler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource. We'll hit the sound bite real quick.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out YakAngler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
Yeah, GatorDavesApparel.com. And, I see Diablo. Yeah, that ain't going to happen. And, I just did. What else? I love the guys from Diablo. They're awesome. BloodyDecks.com and Kayaks by Bow. I didn't give Tom a plug at all tonight. Kayaks by Bow in Titusville, the newest kayak shop on the Space Coast. Tom is carrying everything, literally. He's got Native, he's got Wilderness, he's got Perception, he's got Ocean, he's got Ely, he's got New Canoe. He's getting Jackson's. He'll have Diablo's as well. So I'm helping him do the do some of his tackle inventory as well. I know he just placed a big order with Luther from Yak Attack, and that's pretty cool. Wow, Lozier. I'll be there this upcoming Saturday, by the way, also. So if you guys are in the area and you want to swing by, I'll be over at Kayaks by Bow all Saturday. So swing in. But with that, thank you again. Right, Austin's tournament. I meant to get to that too. Saturday, August 25th, Mosquito Lagoon Bait and Tackle. For more information, you can check out the charity page at www.helpemilynow.org. Come on out. It's going to be a good time. Plenty of prizes to be given away, raffle prizes and such. I saw that some of the folks have contributed quite a bit of stuff. Rob, I know that I saw that you're doing a badtastic prize pack as well.
Yeah, absolutely. For the raffle at Emily's tournament there. Substantial, fantastic prize pack. I couldn't quite do what Harry Goods did, I just felt like I needed to do something, so I'm getting that in the mail here soon. Lots of DOA soft plastics, lots of Miradine, the Mogan series Miradines and Mira mullets and things like that. And, and probably a pair of Typhoon sunglasses as well. So, if you feel it in your heart to do such a thing, send them over a prize pack.
There you go. That's awesome, man. Good karma and for a good cause.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, do what you can, people. It's a great family, and it's a heartwarming story when you read the story about Emily.
It really is.
Yeah, you'll feel obligated to do something. I know Chad Hoover is doing stuff. Yak Attack, Luther from Yak Attack is doing stuff as well. So, Black Dog Custom Rods donated a rod. So, I mean, it's going to be a good time, man, for a really good cause. So, but anyhow, with that being said, check out tacklewebs.com. That's my last plug, and I am out. I am tired. Rob?
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you coming on here, as always, buddy.
No problem.
And I'll leave you guys with the Florida Sportsman
tournament information. If you're not a part of the Florida Sportsman Tournament, here you go.
Hi, y'all. This is Bonita Bob Bramblett inviting you to participate in the Florida Sportsman Kayak Fishing Challenge. Win a Hobie Revolution brought to you by Sierra River Outfitters, as well as weekly prizes by Deep South Fishing Rods and Yak Attack. For more details, check out floridasportsman.com.
One more cast, one more travel fish on.
Good night, children. Go to sleep. Take kid fishing. See ya.